I'm again so privileged to be here this evening, and I have divided my sayings, whatever I'm going to say, in three divisions. One, I'm going to preach a small message on preaching the gospel. Secondly, I like to put forward some information giving the challenges in our land as far as gospel is concerned. And thirdly, I would invite questions from your side so that you might express your mind, whatever I have said, and also some clarification or something you like to inquire. You are welcome this evening. Please turn with me, Romans chapter 1. Book of Romans chapter 1, and very familiar passage I'm going to read. Chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 14 onward. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14 onward. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also, who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. May the Lord bless his word to all of us. Looking at the word of God and having believed from Hindu background almost 40 years ago in my teen age, how God and his word brought an inward change. First, meaninglessness of my life gone. I have a very meaningful life because of the gospel and how I trusted in it. Secondly, I have very purposeful life. I'm not bored at all. And I'm looking forward for that day that I would one day stand before the Lord and he would give me such a grand welcome. Thou faithful servant, well done. I'm just waiting for that. And so, meanwhile, I'm left in this world to be a witness for him, to be a preacher of gospel. It is so interesting. After finishing 2 years degree course in America, I returned back to India, and I came to know that one more Maharashtrian just finished his PhD from Fuller Theological Seminary, California, and he also came back to India. I phoned at his home to congratulate him because very few people have that level of education in theology. So I phoned him. He wasn't at home. His wife lifted the phone and I said, please tell Atul my congratulations for his achievement in PhD. And she said, yes, she will do that. And then she asked me, what are you doing now after returning with education in America? I said, I'm preaching the gospel. And she said, with such a big degree and you are only now preaching the gospel? I said, Suman, preaching the gospel is much bigger than the degree. She said, no, I don't mean that. I said, you meant that. Because you thought degrees and education and all other things are bigger than the gospel. And it was a surprise to her. 10 years ago, somebody met me from mainline church where I was taking Bible study for anybody who comes. And a lady asked me, what are you doing? I said, I preach the gospel. She met me after 10 years and she said, brother, what are you doing now? I said, I preach the gospel. After 10 years also only you are preaching the gospel, you are not even pastor even now. She thought preaching the gospel, later on promotion is to be a pastor. See? People have their own ideas, but to be a gospel preacher, to be a witness for Christ is much bigger. What a dignified job it is. Once you know why God has saved you. But for purpose of saving would have been just a ticket to heaven. As soon as we were saved, he would have just lifted us to heaven. As soon as somebody is saved, lifted to heaven. Nothing living here. But purpose of the gospel or salvation is not just a ticket to heaven, but to be here kept as witnesses and gospel preachers for his glory. Now, these two passages that I have just read, they give us five reasons why we preach the gospel from to monarchs, to menial, to potentate, to paupers. Nobody is outside the reach of the gospel. For everyone, anywhere, and every time, till the Lord comes. But the five reasons that I have why we preach the gospel, number one is, we preach the gospel because of what man is. What is man? A sinner, irrespective of color, culture, class, caste, scholarship, or creed. You find all human beings under these five categories. Anywhere and everywhere, they are sinners, needing to know God and be forgiven. Everywhere, because people who are born and brought up in Christian family, they are introduced to a lot of godly things from the beginning. But if you are coming from a very dark background, hopelessness rules your life. And there is some kind of gap inside that can be filled only by God. And unless that gap is filled properly by God himself, you always feel emptiness, being cut off, walking in darkness, meaninglessness of life and purpose. Because just earning something and buying a lot of things and consuming is not life. Life is much more beyond that. But those who are introduced from the beginning to the Word of God, godliness, going to the church, Sunday school, they may not realize that much. But coming from darkness, it is horrible to know that there is some emptiness in life. Secondly, we preach the gospel because of what God is. Now, coming from again, from idolatrous background, because just like in America, you have a small place for children to keep all their toys. Sometimes their toys are more than our things, like in the family. And in a godly Hindu home, godly in their own way or own style, they have a sanctuary in the family where all the family gods are kept. And if they are not told who really God is and introduced to the Bible or to the gospel, they think that is God. That's why when Paul was preaching in Athens and he came across an altar to unknown God, he did not teach at them or mock at them. He only said, whoever you are worshipping unknowingly, let me introduce that God to you. Because they thought as gods must be many, and some God by mistake might have been left behind. So let us have one altar for that God. And they were trying to please one who is not known to them. But once you are introduced to the Bible and you come to know God of the Bible as your Father, having the Holy Spirit inside, having the concern that God has for lost human being, then you are different. Because of what God is, and what is God? A Savior, a Holy One, just and unchanging, Time writes no wrinkle on the brow of eternal. God is never, never, never changing. God of the Bible is always there. And He is the only one who has such a heart of compassion for every human being. I read somewhere a little girl was asked why there is only one God. And the answer was very amazing. She said, the great God occupies every place in the world, so there is no place for another. See, God occupies every place. And once we come to know God through Christ, He occupies every space of our life. And so there is no place for any other. And because of the greatness of God, because of the compassion of God, because of the love of God, we let people know such a great God. You cannot keep it to yourself. Thirdly, we preach the gospel because of what the gospel is. It's very interesting. The word gospel, as we know, comes from the word God's spell. Because in English, the word God comes from the word good. And then God's spell, news that is based on God, or basically news that is very good. But it has a momentum. Go and spell. Once you have understood the importance of it, then you will surely be longing to tell others. When I was asked whether I would like to stay behind, I said, no, I like to go back to India because as soon as I come out of my door, I have opportunity to witness there. And I can openly talk to anybody one-to-one how God changed my life. And then that makes me understand every heart without Christ is a mission field. And every heart that has Christ is a missionary. Let me ask a question. Are you one of them? If you claim that Christ resides in your heart, He is the Lord of your life. We preach the gospel because what the gospel is, it is a good news and God's power unto salvation. Nothing can change. I go back and remember that the brother who led me to the Lord used to have argument with me. And I used to always win him because he has nothing much. Usually, Christian evangelists, they do not know Hinduism. So when question came up, Hinduism, I always told him, you are wrong. This is not there what you are telling. And somebody, when I was learning how to preach the gospel, somewhere I read, if you want to teach John Latin, then you must know Latin and also John. But one will do not do. So when you go among Hindus, you need to know what they believe. But how he won me to Christ was because he was profusely using his Bible. And when I'm not with him, I'm at home, all those verses will haunt me in his absence. Gospel speaks to your heart through the Holy Spirit. And it is power of God unto salvation. We cannot save anybody, but God's word presented works in the heart of people whom we are presenting the gospel. Fourthly, we preach the gospel because of what Christ is. Actually, in any part of India, when we preach the gospel, they have no objection against Christ. They have objection against Christian and their ungodly living or worldly living. When we challenge them, when they abuse us, we challenge them, do you have some abuses left for Christ also? They say, oh no. They don't want to abuse Christ. There is nothing to abuse because the challenge that he put forward still remains. Can any one of you blame me or put sinfulness upon me? No one can. Even his enemy said, I find nothing sinful or wrong in him. And that's how we challenge other people. Then, why Christ was crucified? And once you find the reason that he was innocent, sinless, Son of God, the Lamb of God, and then you come across why he died on the cross. Only one reason is left, because he took our place. We preach the gospel because of what Christ is, the theme of the gospel, and the judge of all men one day. Today, he is the theme of the gospel. He is the explanation for the reason, for the solution, for our sinfulness, and how it cures worldwide. It is universal. Only one thing that applying the gospel to our hearts. And finally, we preach the gospel because of what we Christians are. What are we? Well, let me read. Because of what we Christians are, trustees of the gospel. We are stewards. Such a wonderful thing is handed over to us as trustees. That's why we cannot, because we are responsible for what we have received. We preach the gospel because what we Christians are, trustees of the gospel, debtors to our fellow men and ambassadors for Christ. We are sent out to bear the message of God to the world, up to the ends of the earth. Now, these are some of the reasons, but I have four more reasons which are apart from Romans' epistle. Now, these probably are well known to us, but I like to read. This would be a B part of my message. Why preach the gospel? Now, I had very hard-earned degree from bachelor's degree from Karnataka University, Dharwad. And then I came back to Maharashtra, worked again as a high school teacher, and went to night classes in the University of Aurangabad and achieved my degree with a second class so I could get a lecturer's job. When I was resigning, everybody phoned me and said, "Don't do such foolishness." And when I told them, "I have thought over it for a longer time and I'm going to resign." My principal would not agree when I resigned the job. He sent another senior teacher to my house and telling, "Just some job." Then, give him good advice. He's very young and enthusiastic. He's resigning his job. And when he came, and also he was told to find out, because I had been sitting at home for 3 months and sent my application. And one day, finally, when 6 months were over, he called me at his office and said, "Pimplekar, one day your children will say that our father made a mistake in resigning such a wonderful job, and because now we are suffering and we can't have a higher education." And I told him, "Sir, one day my children will be so proud of me. Who knows? And God would not put them to shame. They might get higher education." Without anybody's any support, God lifted up my children. I look back, that principal is still alive. One day I took a copy of Bible, presented him, and said, "I was your colleague in the college." And he looked at me and he said, "I wish I had that kind of faith." He's still a Hindu, but now reading the Bible copy that I have given. Now, what makes us to preach the gospel? What brought me out to be a preacher from leaving a lecturer's job in the university? My PhD was in phonetics. It was not very far. My teacher told, "Half the work is already done." But I said, "I have no interest anymore." And I resigned and came out to serve the Lord. It is more than 25 years now. I have four reasons why I am a preacher of the gospel, why we all need to be preaching the gospel, whatever job we are doing. Every one of us has a different calling. We might be teachers or doctors or lab technicians, whatever may be our job, but God has called us to be preachers of the gospel and also witnesses for him. Number one, We know the very famous quotation, we preach the gospel because it is a command from above. We have that Matthew's gospel's quotation, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 to 20. Now we know that it reads like this, go into all the world and make disciples, because power, all power and authority is given unto me. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them till the end of the age. Behold, I am with you. It concludes like that. And so, I am not here because I liked it. No, it is a command from above. The Lord Jesus who gave his life, no one dares to do that. But God did that. Christ did that. And because he has given his life, he rose again. I know he is the same yesterday, today and forever. He lives. He lives. He lives in my heart. He lives with me. He is going to welcome me at the end. And so preaching the gospel is not optional. It is mandatory because it is commanded to do that. And so wherever we are, with whoever we are, we need to preach the gospel. And we also need to learn how to preach the gospel. One day I was so enthusiastic, and behind our house there was a little grassland. And a lady used to come and cut the grass every day, little bit, to take for her cow. I thought, why not preach the gospel to her? But I did not know how to. I was only told that there are 5 points, sin, result of sin, and then helplessness of man, and then love of God, and then responsibility of human being as to receive or reject the gospel. I knew only this much. So I was waiting because she used to come in the evening. As soon as she landed behind our house and cutting the grass, I just closed the door and went there and said, Auntie, I like to talk to you. First, let me tell you, you are a sinner. She immediately got up and said, I won't cut the grass. Well, if you allow me, I'm not a sinner. And she left and gone. I never met her again. Because I did not know how to approach a human being with first to be friendly and then present the gospel. We need to know. It is a technique, it is an art, and it has a heart involved in it. We preach the gospel because it is command from above. Then secondly, it says, we preach the gospel because we hear the cry from beneath. Now, I'm sure you know where I'm quoting from. In the Luke's Gospel chapter 16, we have the story of that rich man and Lazarus. And we also know what kind of life both lived. One who was party man, very rich and every day luxuriously living. And the other one was just left beside his door and whose wounds were licked by dog and so poverty. But his name was Lazarus, mean God, whom God has helped. Even in poverty, we are helped by God. Even in helplessness, God is our help. This man knew God, and the other one didn't. And we know what happened in the eternity. Both died, and one was kept at the bosom of Abraham. The other was suffering in hell. And we know the story, how the rich man called upon Abraham and said, Abraham, father, please send Lazarus here with some little water. He thought he's like in the world, ordering his servants every time he needs. Father Abraham said, no, son, you just remember what you had in the world. Lazarus is here, and he is enjoying. You are suffering. And there is a valley, there is a gap in between. No one can come from here to there or there to here. And when he heard that there is no use, he said, Father Abraham, send somebody to the earth. I have 5 brothers. At least they should not come here. Somebody need to witness to them. What a concern. For a man who is in hell, he still has a concern for his brothers. Now I do not know. If any one of our relatives or friends died without Christ, they might be having this cry, looking towards heaven, send somebody, at least that they may not come here, the place of torture. I do not know whether I told you this story. In India, there is a festival called Dasera. Everyone goes out and loots other people's wealth and brings home, come home, and then at the door of your house there is a welcome. You know that you are so much welcome and felicitated. In my early days, I went with my uncles to have a loot, but I didn't do that. I came home with empty-handed. And when I came at the door, my aunt was there to receive all of us. Everyone put all their looted material, gave to her, and then some money also they gave, and then she put the kumkum, and then she had an arati, you know, with a lamp. They were all welcome. And she saw nothing in my hand. So she did not give a welcome. She just went, inside, and also showed me the tongue, like that. And when all were sitting for food, grandmother asked, "Where is Babu?" Nobody answered, but my auntie knew. She told Babu is standing outside. "Arey, get him here. Child is not sitting for food." And my aunt told he has come empty-handed. "No, no, no, it's okay. Bring him." So because my aunt was forced, she came out with that arati, the lamp, and only once she did like this. And just with one stretch. And she told me, empty-handed, beggar, did not bring anything. And I was already crying. I came out. That happened 60 years ago. I still remember my aunt telling me, beggar. Now I do not know. When you and I, or some of us who go empty-handed to heaven, I do not know whether angels know my auntie's language, looking at you, "You beggar, empty-handed came here." I do not know. But make sure that your hands are full of the sheaves, because the seed that you have sown. And by the way, that auntie who said like that to me, I have brought her to the Lord, and she is in the fellowship of one of our assembly. But when I told the story, she too remembers. So do not leave this world empty-handed, because hear the cry from beneath. One of my preacher friend told me that is a wanted from hell. Wanted from hell. Go somebody to our relatives on the surface of the earth and preach the gospel. Thirdly, we preach the gospel because we have call from around where it is given. When, you know, Paul and his friends were going in the second missionary journey, they passed through the land of Turkey, at that time Asia Minor, and every time they were going this side or that side, Holy Spirit was hindering them. Finally, they came at a place called Troas, and they were on their knees praying, "Lord, show us where to go. If it is not your will that we should go this time, this side or that city, then tell us where to go." And that night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia came into his vision and said, "Come, please come and help us." Now the first one is command from above. We dare not disobey it. Second is the cry from beneath, right from the bottom of the hell. "Please send somebody to preach the gospel to my brothers and sisters." And thirdly, the call from around. What is going on around? All these centuries, 2,000 years, missionaries have been sent to our land. How grateful we are for the missionaries. I wonder how could they come to our land with such a heat, such a trouble, such a hot food, such unmanageable situation, and yet they gave up their life, remained there, preached the gospel. I wonder at them. I would say I would have 100 thanks to God for sending the missionaries. But these days, not the Asian countries or African countries, the whole world has become a mission field. Anywhere and everywhere God sends you, it is a mission field. Everywhere we find people unsaved, unreached, and without Christ, without God, without meaning to their life, without purpose for their life. And so, call from around. One from above, the command. One from cry from beneath, and one from call from around. And somebody said this was the first European call because the man was from Macedonia, which is now a small independent country, which was part of Greek before. Finally, we preach the gospel because the constraint from within. Now that is given in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, the love of Christ, because we have Christ now residing in our heart, making our material body as his temple. Now, he, because he is inside, he is constraining. Now, what is constraining? Now, in the evening or maybe early morning, sometimes on weekdays or holidays, we go and visit some family. Sometimes I'm alone because my wife remains at home. And I present the message, we pray together for different things, and by it is now 11:30 or almost quarter to 12, then they will say, now why not have little food and then go? Then I would say, no, my wife is at home, I'll go. Then they will say, no, then please have just little, it is ready. Then I won't listen. Then the grandma, of the house will come and say, son, please take, even if you don't want to take the whole thing, just take little. One piece of chicken is there and one special, some preparation. And now I cannot deny because such a constraining love. And you know, when we go out and present the gospel, we have this constraint from within. We cannot preach the gospel and say, now I have done my job. If you want to go to hell, you go. I'm going. That wouldn't be a constraining love, because that would be truth without love is a lie. I need to plead with everybody, please don't deny or reject Christ. This is maybe your last chance. Constrain from within, that man would feel that this person has a concern for my soul. And this is the last reason that we preach the gospel, constraining from within. My brothers and sisters, these are so many reasons why we present the gospel. Now, look at the world, especially our part of the world. In land of Maharashtra, the gospel came in 1813. Within first year, 6 missionaries just died on the seashore of Bombay area, because full of mosquitoes. What Bombay presently the modern city, at that time it wasn't. They were separate 7 islands. And in between lot of sea water coming in. Later on they joined and putting mud from the mountains and they made it a flat land. And now it is a modern city. But at that time it was horrible to live in. First, 1 year, 6 missionaries died. Later on, they continued, and the first missionary who climbed the Mount Sayadri and came to Nasik, some came to Ahmednagar and other parts and preached the gospel. Nearly 200 years have gone by, including our denomination. We are only 1.5% Christians of all denominations and cults. Believers are very few. So many nooks and corners. Maharashtra alone is 1,200 kilometers by 1,000 kilometers. We have 5% tribals. 5%, that is more than 50 lakhs. That is 50,000 people are just tribals. Only 10,000 and little more are so far reached. They have so many languages. Somebody might have told other day that we have 1,652 languages and dialects. Many, many languages do not have even gospel portion. And what a challenge. At door is being closed day by day. Now the full open door is in Andhra Pradesh. You can go and stay there and even stand on the road and preach the gospel. Within 5 to 10 minutes, 50 to 70 people will gather around you to listen the gospel and no hindrance. This was condition 20, 25 years ago in the land of Maharashtra. The majority caste or so-called high caste are still unreached. They are still waiting to hear the gospel. Now, Brahmins, the high caste or the priestly class in the land of Maharashtra, they are the biggest number. They are more than 10% in Maharashtra. And they are the heads of every organization. RSS, BJP, Shiv Sena, Bajrang Dal, Hindu Mahasabha, every organization, including communism, they are the leaders. And at every spot, even if they are communists, that at their home they will have worship of idols. And so what a challenge. These days, gospel need to be preached to everyone, from this end to another. Then if God has laid down your heart, then you can take part, either collecting for the Christian literature or training people, or even if you are coming from this country, you can stand behind or behind the curtain and teach the young believers. We arrange short-term Bible schools for new believers to be taught for 10 days, 15 days, or 1 month. Challenges are still there. Right from the northern part till in Kashmir, we have hardly 150 Christians altogether. One brother lives in Rajasthan, and every 6 months, because Kashmir is very cold, he goes there and preaches gospel, and during the winter, he comes down and lives in Rajasthan called Ganganagar. If you look at the list of the full-time workers, we are now more than 1,200. But 1,200 for a country of 100 crores is just a meager minority. Most of the mainline churches have gone liberal and they do not preach gospel anymore. Lot of counterfeits are there, big reports are there. Sometimes the pages or the computers are filled, thousands are converted, thousands are baptized. 10,000 churches are there. This is just on the paper. Paper cow does not eat grass. Come and visit us, or write a small letter of encouragement. And if you are visiting, at least visit 5 to 7 or 10 evangelists who are on the field working for the Lord. Because not only just a local assembly can take care of the surrounding area, but beyond our borders, there are people waiting to hear the gospel. Well, these are some of the challenges. We are very few. In Maharashtra, we are 10 crores, but full-time workers, we are less than 60. Out of 60, nearly 20 do not know the local language. 10 are from tribal area. So remaining half only, we try to reach out to our own people of different castes, different creeds, and different part of Maharashtra. We need to stand behind. And not Maharashtra alone, wherever your heart is, wherever, whichever area gives you burden, pray for us, brothers. I challenge you. Now I stop here. There are 5 minutes. And if you have any question, you are welcome to ask, and I would try to answer. Pardon?
You had mentioned in the morning about a four-wheeler vehicle.
Yeah, yes.
How do you commute these days now?
Right now we travel by state transport, bus or train. But because these days very tiring to take the literature box, then our own things, and then travel by train or bus, it's very hard. And now I'm not that young anymore. I'm 64. And to carry even 500 gospel is a big burden. So my wife and I are praying that if the Lord provides us a four-wheeler, then we can take the literature, also our material things for 10 days to live outside, away from our home. But right now we go by ST bus or train. And sometimes if we go by private Matador or Jeep, that man who owns the Matador, if it has a license to have 8 plus 1 driver plus 8 people, but he will put at least 16 people. And as soon as he sees our big bundle, he says, "Now I cannot take you. You come by another." And sometimes we reach there, that bus stand, 8:30, thinking that we will reach that place by 10 o'clock, and they won't take us because the bundles, the material, the luggage is too heavy. And same is the condition with most of the evangelists working. There is, but what I was telling in the morning, catching your scholar or just hitting once or letting the ear of your motorcycle or cycle tire go or putting little one bucket of cow dung on you or on vehicle, we don't call that as persecution. That is very normal. But being beaten heavily, have to run away from that place for 1 week or so, that happens oftentimes. One of my relatives who came to know the Lord 20 years back through us, he and his wife work in a very religious center called Parli Vaijanath, 12 Jyotirlingas. They are twice beaten with the belt until they have gone back. But usually hitting you or spoiling your vehicle, two-wheeler, or putting cow dung on you, or attacking your house is very common these days. But common Maharashtrians do not persecute you. It is the Hindu militant organizations and their activists, they persecute you. We buy Bibles from the Bible Society. Even if their prices are reduced, they cost near little more than 100 rupees each copy of the Bible. And when we go to the countryside and we try to sell it for 100 rupees, it is too much for a common man. Because that in the village side, that is a 2 days' wages to buy one copy. So sometimes in the local assembly we challenge and said we are carrying 10 Bibles. Would you like to subside? They say, okay, I'll pay 25 rupees out of that. Then we go there and we say, here is a Bible for 100 rupees. They say, I cannot buy that much. I'll pay half the price. Then we take that and that brother who paid 25 rupees, somehow we subside and provide a Bible. But we do not encourage people to buy the whole copy of the Bible because sometimes a new seeker gets stuck up with the Leviticus or Deuteronomy and he's not encouraged to read further. We encourage them to buy a copy of a New Testament, which is now costing not less than 25 rupees.
That is 50 cents in the dollar.
Right. Yeah. And then Gideons provide, but that is not for sale. But unless we sell that, they won't care for it. See, so many copies go like that. So when Gideons, some copies are presented to us, when we go to a government officer and talking to him, and at the end of our talk, we present that copy, Gideon's New Testament, we present to him. But for selling, we need to buy from the Bible Society, which costs 25 rupees. 25 rupees is a half the wages, half day's wages, and it is still costly. And 7 of us, we pull together and move to different jatras, religious gatherings. We need almost 1,000 New Testament every month. Thank you, unless you have any questions.